Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Game six tonight. This could be the end of the road for your Houston Rockets.
I want the Rockets to win, okay? I'll be rooting for them. But anybody that thinks that just because Durant's not playing that the Rockets are going to coast tonight, which I've heard from several people, not so fast there. We've seen James Harden in elimination games before. And if he goes out there and goes 1 for 15 on threes, they could lose this game.
Yeah.
Now, I don't anticipate them. I think they're going to win. But I think one of two things happens. If the Rockets get out to a fast start, I think they run away and hide. And maybe the Warriors just fold up and say, we'll play for game seven. If this game is tight, I can see Harden kind of...
Yeah.
Going Harden. We were talking about Astros a little earlier. At what point do you start worrying about the back end of your rotation?
Right now, they're a really good team, and a lot of it's because offensively, they're a great team. But could this team win a World Series without grabbing another starting pitcher? Maybe. But if you want to put yourself in a position to feel a lot more comfortable, that's probably what they're looking at.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number. But we're not going to take any calls right now because we've already got three of the best on the planet on the line. RJ Bell, Brad Powers, Fezzik, all three of them from pregame.com, from straight out of Vegas. What's up, fellas?
I want to give you an invitation. If you want to auction off for charity a chance to do a call with me and ask a question, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So just open invite.
Okay, well, we'll work on that. For what is there a charity you've got in mind?
You know, I'm kind of a fan of children's charities.
Okay.
Because to me, and I get it, if we're sick kids, obviously that's sad. But to me, what's sad that we don't acknowledge as much is kids who are underprivileged in a way that affects the rest of their lives. Right? Think about, you're seeing 60-year-olds walking by today. You probably see them at the track a good bit. Who, if they just would have had the right stuff when they were 15, whatever that was, that the whole lives could have been different. And their children's lives could have been different. It's a chain of pain, guys.
I understand. You know what? Speaking of 15-year-olds, did any of the three of you there, did any of you play the circle game when you were kids?
You like, you're holding on and then someone lets go?
No, the circle game where you hold the circle below your waist and if your buddy's holding the circle, you don't want to look at it. But if you're holding the circle, you try to get him to look at it, and if he looks at the circle, you punch him in the arm.
I think you played this with your imaginary friend, AJ.
Brad, Fezzik, I'm almost sure you didn't.
No, did not play it. I know what you're talking about, but I never played it.
I've never heard of this at all.
Okay. Brad, you've heard of the circle game?
It's because you're responsible adults.
Have you ever heard of the symbol that you make with the circle game being a symbol for white supremacy? Have you ever heard of this?
No, never.
Do you know that guy that got banished from the Cubs game for life was basically playing the circle game on television behind who was it? Doug Glanville, and now he's basically banned from Wrigley Field forever for playing the circle game.
Well, listen. I think most thinking people would say, you know, in some ways political correctness has gone overboard. But then the other side is going to say, yeah, but that's a reasonable cost for all the progress that's being made. So I probably fall more on, to me, I'm all about freedom politically.
That's right. But
the other stuff is on the margin. But I want people to be, you know, if you're not hurting anyone, go at it. And by the way, if you want to bet against me, I think go at it.
Go at it.
Just in general. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Rockets tonight against the Warriors. They're Vegas, you guys seem to think that the Rockets will win this game by more than any of the games this series have been won by. This is going to be a blowout game compared to the rest of the series because no Kevin Durant. A, how much of an impact did Kevin Durant's injury directly have? And B, I mean, do you think that the adjustment that's been made is a proper adjustment?
All right, so we got a decision to make. On my nationally syndicated radio show that we just finished, I gave out the RJ Bell NBA Underdog of the Year.
Oh, boy.
Now, I'm going to have a vote. It has to be no dissenters. Brad, should I give AJ and their local market audience the pick?
Yeah.
You say yes?
Yeah.
Fez?
Yes.
Okay.
Guys, you know what he wanted here. He wanted you guys to disparage us for only being on in a tiny local market. That was your big chance. That's what RJ was trying to. He was trying to belittle us, and that was your chance.
When did I say tiny?
No, you. I knew what you were getting at, RJ.
It sounds like you're projecting.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm going to, even though you are, because the vote came in good, I'm going to give it to you.
This is the game that people are going to talk about for years to come.
Here it is. And you're not going to like it. Golden State, half the bet on the money line.
Oh,
it's not just Golden State plus 7. It's Golden State plus 280. 100 wins you 280. Here's the rationale. I don't know if you guys have seen these numbers. Pregame.com research on this. Durant's been there 3 years, right?
Yes.
In the games that Durant's played, they've won straight up 74.9%. Without Durant, there's been 40 games. They're 30-10, Golden State is, without Durant. Now, hold on. That's 75%. Golden State's better without Durant, based on these numbers. I don't think that's true. But boy, those numbers, and you got 40 games. It's a half a season. So, Fez, let's break down the adjustment that's been made for Durant, because I think a big chunk of that is probably where our value's coming from. So, right now, the line's 7. What was the line? And let's find the analog game, the game that's most analogous, game 3, I think, because the motivation was max there, and it's going to be max here for Houston.
Yeah, essentially game 3 was an elimination game for Houston, down 0-2. They were dead if they didn't win that one. Now we clearly do have an elimination game. Back in game 3, Houston's home. Houston was laying -3.5. Now we fast forward to game 6. Houston is laying 7, so a 3.5-point adjustment the marketplace made for Durant being out.
I think that's too much. Now, why would one of the best players, if not the best player in the NBA, some believe, Durant, how could he be so not valuable to Golden State? I think we've got the answer. And let me ask you guys, don't care about numbers. Just say big or small or whatever, you know, some adjective. If Aaron Rodgers were traded to the Miami Dolphins, how much would you upgrade Miami?
Not a lot.
AJ.
I mean,
are we recording this? Because you might want to edit that out.
It's magic.
RJ, how good were the Packers last year with Aaron Rodgers?
They were a lot better than they would have been without Aaron Rodgers.
Well, maybe so, but they've had Aaron Rodgers for a long time, and they've usually been good. Last year, they weren't. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is good enough at this point to take the worst roster in the NFL and suddenly make them, you know, anything special.
I didn't say anything special.
I don't think he'd make them a 500 team.
Right. I didn't even say that. What I said was, right now, Miami's considered the worst team in the NFL, right, Fez?
They are. They're supposed to win 4.5 games this year.
How many games would they be? What would their over-under be with Aaron Rodgers?
7.5.
So we're talking about, once again, that's 3 games.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot of games, right? It's a big upgrade.
Okay.
AJ, we're getting bogged down on the.
It's a big. That was supposed to be a rhetorical upgrade. If you would bet the over on that, isn't it?
It's a big upgrade, mathematically.
Okay.
Right? Like, how many games? Like, who's the second highest win total team, Fez, this year?
Second lowest, you mean?
Second highest. When I say highest, I mean highest.
New England's number 1 at 11, and number 2, it's 3-way tie. Kansas City, Rams, and New Orleans are all 10.5.
Okay. So if they had 3 games taken from them, right, it'd be 7.5?
8.5. Oh, 7.5. Yeah, 7.5. 3 games taken. Sorry.
You're okay. Are you sundowning?
I maybe need a senior nap.
He usually doesn't work on Fridays, I thought. What happened here?
Nah, I mean, yeah, who knows? You need one of those, like, tax form charts. You know, go here to figure out when Fez is on it. But, no, we're joking. He's on it. So, that 3-game delta in this case takes you from the second-best team to a below 500 team.
Yes. Right.
3 games is pretty meaningful. Okay. How much would I mean, AJ just screws it all up. How much would Aaron Rodgers be worth on the Patriots?
I mean, almost nothing. I would say he...
Yay! Hold on. Thank you. Why? Because the Patriots already have what Aaron Rodgers offers. It's redundant. Now, depth is good. Backups are good if the starter gets hurt. What does Golden State get from Durant? They get a leading scorer, alpha dog. How many teams have a second guy like that? I mean, we were debating. Maybe you could say OKC, though I might say neither of them are.
Well, I mean, nobody has a second player that's as good as Steph Curry. Like, the second best guy on any team is not better than Steph Curry.
And the question is there any team that has a second best guy that could reasonably dominate a not a must win, but a game, you know, a second round playoff game where you would expect them to, like, say, I think it's going to be Curry leading the way. And if he does, you just nod. Yep, he did it.
Yeah.
It's not some shocker.
I think Oklahoma City might be the one other team that you could make that argument for.
All right. So it's a rare thing.
And I'll say now, if you say Klay Thompson's now the second best player on Golden State, then Golden State's the other team that their second best guy could dominate, and you wouldn't go, wow, really? He did that?
No, that's an interesting point. I mean, because Klay as a third is shockingly good. So,
but as a second, how many seconds in the league are better than Klay Thompson if he were their second best player?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Maybe none.
Probably more. Wow.
Who?
Huh?
Maybe Russell Westbrook. Is Jimmy Butler better than Klay Thompson? I would say no.
I would say no for sure if you count the intangibles.
Yeah, I can't think of another one besides yeah, maybe Russell
that's
Westbrook.
That's actually an interesting point. Is Golden State's third best player when healthy is better than almost anyone else's second best player?
I mean, there may be one or two out there, but there's definitely not a lot.
I would say even last year CP3 might have been better, but I think we've seen the age hit him a little bit this year.
Yeah, I think Klay Thompson's still clearly a top 20 player, and I don't think Chris Paul's a top 20 player anymore.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Good. See, now AJ delivers, so he's even now for this segment.
Not bad.
So
for a local guy.
To me, that's the point. Now, thinness is a concern. Now, we actually did some research, and we didn't have time to get to it. Did we? Because Fezzik's main complaint about this pick was, and I think you like the pick, right, generally?
Oh, I do, and I love the logic behind it.
Thank you, I think there's a sense that if the bench was thin already post-Boogie and 6 becomes 5 and 7 becomes 6, you're getting thin in a maybe unsustainable way, though you only need the one game. So here's what we tried to figure out. How did Golden State do this year, excuse me, when Cousins wasn't active and Durant was out? Just this year, because this is the team we've got tonight. What did we figure out?
Durant only missed 4 games this year, RJ, believe it or not, and Cousins played all 4 games, so we don't have the sample.
Wow.
Surprising.
They went 3-1 as well, 75%.
So now the question is, Fez, how much are you concerned about the thinness? Because it strikes me for one game. Now the catch-22 is if Golden State really tries to win this game and they fall short, does it compromise them for game 7? And that is a concern here. If Houston gets up 16-18 late in the third, does Golden State empty the bench? And that's why I like the money line even more. If I'm right, it's going to be competitive. We don't have to worry about that. If they're down 18, we're in trouble anyway. But if you're plus 7, you're still in it if you're down 18.
And I really think this is the brilliant part of your pick, taking the money line, because the variance of this game, I could make the argument, is so much greater than a typical game.
Define variance.
Variance being how far away from the spread the game actually falls. So it would not shock me if Houston wins this game by 25. It would not shock me at all if Golden State wins the game by 10. Because if Houston is blowing out Golden State, you could blink and see Livingston, Looney, Bogut, and Jarepko out there all for Golden State. But if the game's tied with 4 minutes to go, do you really want Houston on the money line? Chris Paul and Harden looking pressure filled, shaken?
That is the point about the money line, guys. You know these guys. You're watching more of the games. If you're Harden, you know, Stephen A. today, and listen, personally, and this is just me, I think Stephen A. is right about most of the things he says.
Talking about the great one, R.J. Bell.
So I agree with him mostly, but I don't always agree with him. He said this is a legacy game for Harden. And in a way, if they win and they win the title, it really is. I mean, if you look, I think Colin did this today. You had the list of MVPs with a title versus MVPs without a title. It feels like two different clubs, man. It's like maybe you're getting in the foundation room, but you're not getting in that top floor.
Yep.
And Harden, if he wins a title, I mean, now you got to start looking at his stats. Is he one of the 20 best players in the history of the NBA at that point?
Probably.
He's, I don't know. 20 is a big number, but it's a small number. But, I mean, you can make an argument for it, sure.
I mean, he did something this year as far as averaging nearly 37 points per game that no one in the NBA has done in almost two decades.
Yeah, I mean, the stats are amazing. I've never seen one team that's so reliant on the unique skill set of one player. You know, I guess you could say Golden State pre-Durant with the outside shooting, but it was both Steph and Clay, and they built that team around that. But I got to tell you something, guys, and we've all had our trials and tribulations. Probably my strongest one is I've had the same 10, 15 pounds I wanted to lose since I was 25. I'm always want to lose that last 10. And let me tell you something. When it's a cheesecake at the buffet, let's say I'm less than 50%. Right? It's not just the VIG that's hurting me there. And here's what I know. And I believe this strongly. If you're honest about yourself, it's easier to understand other people. People that have this unrealistic assessment of themselves, if I had the flu, I'd play and be soft. It's hard to look at others and allow them to be human because you're not allowing yourself to be human. I know there's things I'm naturally inclined to, and I know there's things I'm not. I always want to have a clean office. You know, if I watch Billions and I see Bobby's office never has anything out of place, I'm thinking, when I clean my office, right when I'm done, I look and go, this is the way I want it to be. A week later, it's not that, right? I know my nature. Can we really say that Harden, after all these years of playing, never winning a title, and then you look at CP3, and now correct me if I'm wrong, he's never even made a conference final. Nope. Is that just
until last year?
Oh, okay. Okay, good point. Never made the finals then. So is that just luck? Is there something the math doesn't account for? You know, I like to quote the great, so I'll quote Einstein when it comes to numbers. He said, everything that matters can't be counted, and everything you count doesn't matter. It's a great little thought. I love analytics. I think Daryl Morey is a genius, borderline, literally. Morey's not going to Basketball Prospectus. He's the guy that developed some of this stuff. And I'm guessing the proprietary stuff is next level, right? But the numbers guys, you know, they keep saying there's not a clutch gene. All I know is I don't think Michael Jordan, in any situation, he would have blown up the arena to get out of town if he wasn't going to win a title. Now, we could say Jordan was a maniac. Probably was. But the fact of the matter is, there's something about these guys that they don't care enough or they don't step up enough. And I know that sounds like a heck of an indictment. And maybe it's not even the right way to say it. I think it's a material chance there's something there. Maybe it is just luck. Because John Elway, you know, 24 months before he retired, or I guess even 14 months before he retired, I could have said the same thing. And then he wins two titles, right? So I don't think everyone at this stage of the career that these guys are that hasn't won a title that's an elite player falls into this category. But I know, bringing it back to me, some people are clutch, some people aren't, some people care more, some people don't. And if it gets to be late, as Fezzik said, and this is their chance, this is their legacy game, is that a positive or a negative for Houston? I think it's a negative. Especially, imagine, last thing, the conversation of, yeah, they couldn't even win it when Durant was out.
Yeah.
I mean, that boy, that is an albatross that they're going to be scared of.
I will say this, and I don't think this is just about James. I think it's sort of speaks about this generation compared to previous generations of basketball players. I feel like their legacy is becoming, at least to young people, less and less tied to championships. And I think when you said, do they really care? I don't know for sure if James Harden, I mean, I'm sure he'd like to win one. I don't know if James Harden is going to like have trouble sleeping at night if he doesn't win one, like Karl Malone used to talk about. I don't think he's that guy. I don't think Russell Westbrook is going to be kept up at night because he's not going to have an NBA championship by the time he's done. So
I'm confused, AJ. How can these current players have a legacy? A legacy is only something you have in hindsight, right?
No, I'm saying they're not worried about that long-term legacy when it comes to championships. James Harden is like, I'm a league MVP. I'm a multiple-time scoring champion. How are you going to question my legacy?
Well, in a weird way, there's one of two problems that Houston, or specifically Harden and CP3, might have. One is they care so much that it tightens them up late in the game, or they don't care enough, and that's part, you know, that's why they haven't gotten there, and it would come back to bite them in a game like this. So to me, the Michael Jordan was that kind of guy that could care so much it was the most important thing to him, but it didn't cause him to tighten up. It caused him to play better. That's the thing. If you think about the greats, do you think Joe Montana didn't care? That's why he was pointing to John Candy, right? It's because he cared so much, he almost transcended being stressed out. I'm so prepared. God meant me to be here. There's that self-fulfilling prophecy those guys have. And, you know, I'm not sure how often people win titles without that. And listen, Golden State didn't have Durant for 14 minutes. And the game was tied, right, Fez, going in the fourth?
72-all, yep.
So to me, we've already got a preview. And did Golden State feel lucky? Did that feel lucky?
No. And here's when I think about these two teams, and this is kind of why I like your bet, and I'm not as greedy as you. I'm going to take that +7. But to me, with or without Kevin Durant, you're looking at a team full of proven winners versus a team full of proven losers. And if I...
Jeez.
Am I wrong?
Local market.
James Harden, Chris Paul, Mike D'Antoni. AJ,
you've only got one market, buddy. Treat it good.
Well, listen, I can't control it. I'm not the one doing it. It's these guys. It's James Harden. It's Mike D'Antoni. It's Chris Paul. They're the ones who are losing, not me. What I'm saying is, if I have to choose between a team that's a proven winner versus a team that's been proven not to win in these big situations, I'm going to lean with that team that's a proven winner. I don't care what's going against
them. Let me ask you a question, AJ. I know you're very close-minded. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, boy.
Do you agree there's a chance that Houston gets up significantly and Golden State packs it in for Game 7?
No.
There's no chance?
I don't think so.
All right. Let's change the subject. By the way, this is the Blitz. Oh, wait. Am I supposed to do the reset?
No, you're doing fine. We actually got to hit our break, RJ. I appreciate your insight.
Let me ask you, can we tease the next week for 30 seconds?
Of course. And then I've got one thing to close with, that I a mistake that I heard you make.
Oh, that seems unlikely. This is going to be hard to believe, but let's throw it out there for next week.
All right.
Brad Powers in the fifth grade was the free throw champion of Cuyahoga County in Ohio.
That's a real place?
The question is, yes. The question is, as a fifth grader, if he shot 1,000 free throws, how many do you think he thinks he would have made? Now, no answers now. So, like, if you thought he would hit 50%, he would have made 500 of the 1,000. Maybe we do a little Twitter poll. Next week, Brad will reveal what he strongly feels he would have made.
Okay. I'm interested in this.
It's going to surprise you.
I'm very interested in this. All right. Here's the mistake that I heard RJ make. It's a two-part mistake. RJ, when he goes to the buffet, it's never one piece of cheesecake that gets him. It's always the second piece of cheesecake.
No. That was different. I was carb loading from March Madness.
I ate a buffet with RJ 3 times, and every time it was the same. Every time it was...
carb... Hey, listen, I don't know if you've ever heard of... Have you ever heard of a bang bang?
No.
All right, well, listen, this is important that you understand.
It's a bang bang.
Well, that's where we go have a whole meal at one place, and then go right to another place and have another one. Bang bang.
That seems like something you would do.
So there you go. I just would do it at the same buffet.
And this one bothered me because it was a math thing, and I picture you being, you know, you said you're an analytics guy. I think of you as a numbers guy.
I said I'm an analytics guy.
I know, and then
you've gotten, like, hundreds of hours of free radio out of me. I think you know how well I deal with numbers.
I know, but then you said you want to get off these last 10 pounds, and I feel like you you forgot about the first 20.
Now, you know something. All I got to say is this. I guess if, you know, it's funny with AJ, actually, because, I mean, you're almost, I mean, are you almost 50?
No, I'm 38 years old.
Well, you got that crinkly, like Marlboro Man kind of crinkles around your eyes. You look older. So
I served our country.
Hold on. Can I respond? You had your crack. Now it's my turn. Now, here's what's interesting is, he still has that, you know, when you're on the play, like when you were a kid and you'd go on the playground and it was maybe a different part of town and then they're sizing you up and they're trying to figure out, you know, can they beat each other up? It's like AJ's walking around, you know, business meetings, like he wants to fight people. No. He wants to figure out, he challenges people to arm wrestling matches. Like there's something arrested in his development of his psyche that makes him want to revert back to childhood test of strength as opposed to the metrics of adulthood.
I was one of those underprivileged 15-year-olds.
I feel bad for your wife. I'm just going to say it.
I feel bad for your wife. She's got that extra 30 pounds laying on top of her.
Listen, if I wanted to look like I was from Auschwitz, maybe your numbers would be right. But you know what's funny? You would think that saying, hey, this guy is admitting he's far from perfect would be enough. But it's like, no, let's find a way to be critical. But again, I get it. It's all about your insecurity.
It's all about us playing to our small local market.
And one day you're going to tell us, one day you're going to explain to us what your dad did to you.
Oh, that cut me deep, RJ. That cut me deep. All right, man.
Let's leave it at that.
That's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik join us as well. Appreciate all you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, guys. You know what else sounds good? A trip to London with Big Game Travel to go see Houston fans going to London for a game against Jacksonville at legendary Wembley Stadium. We're going. Here's your chance to join us. They've got this thing all set up. Nonstop airfare, 5-star hotel in downtown London, transportation, pep rally, tailgate, game day tickets, so much more. And you need to get in touch with them right now and get that deposit down.
Yeah, don't be a dummy.
Because it's going to fill, and it's only a $300 deposit.
Yeah, and then you're not coming with us if you don't put that deposit down. And you're going to feel like a stupid idiot because you're at home while we're in London, you know, drinking pints at the local pub and talking to those guys in the hats at Buckingham Palace, and you're not there watching the local teams play against the Jacksonville's local team. And you're not going to be on the best flights. You're not going to be staying in the nicest hotels. You're not going to be doing all the fun stuff that we're going to be doing. It's going to be so great, guys. All you got to do is show up. Everything's taken care of for you. Big Game Travel, they are the beasts of this industry. You can get in touch with the owners almost anytime. They personally host the trips. You're going to be consistently dealing with the same people throughout your experience. Visit BigGameTravel.com for more info. That's BigGameTravel.com and come to London with us.
The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. The Canon, a co-working ecosystem for Houston's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and freelancers, has opened up their brand new location just west of the Galleria at 675 Bering. Offices start at just $900 a month, and all members of the Canon Post Oak can also work out of our main campus space. Visit thecanonhouston.com/postoak for more information and to book a tour. All right, we got to squeeze in a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day real quick.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
So, you're familiar with the Teslas that have not really self-driving, but basically like have an autopilot?
Yeah.
So what do you think the first thing somebody does when they have an autopilot car?
They have sex in the car.
And film a porno.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's Taylor Jackson, who is a sex performer, basically they put it on Pornhub and then she tweeted it to Elon Musk, who responded. Says, turns out there's more ways to use autopilot than we imagined. Should have seen it coming. Well, I can't say that. But she made Tesla the number one search on Pornhub. And so Elon Musk was tagged in it.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah. There's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. That was a late Gem of the Day.
Yeah.
Usually we get to it sooner.
Well, it just kept getting pushed back because the circle game thing, and then RJ and those guys went a little long, which one thing about that I wanted to kind of bring up to RJ, but I couldn't get a word in there was,
sorry.
I don't think it's always about you either want it so much that you choke or you don't care enough that you choke. I don't know that it has to do with caring and wanting. I think it's just like some players go on tilt just like they do in poker. And it's not a matter of, I think you can want it so much that you choke, but I also think that sometimes in the moment you just gag, and we've seen that with Harden in the biggest moments. And yeah. So I pretty much agree with their approach to the betting the game. I'm also probably with you. I'm probably gonna take the 7 points and just say that's good enough. But I don't think it's a matter necessarily of you care so much or you don't care. That's all.
Yeah, I stay away from betting NBA, but I can't imagine giving 7 points tonight.
Well, I think situationally it's a good bet.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to go that way, all right.
The assumption is that the Warriors are significantly worse without KD, and
well, we've
that's never been proven to be true.
Right. And we've seen the stats. They brought them all up. That's not true.
Yeah.
And I think there's some reason for it. Somebody brought up earlier on Twitter, they move the ball better when he's not.
They absolutely do that. And that's why I've always said, while I don't know that I would go as far to say that the Warriors are worse for having Kevin Durant, I have stated before, they're definitely not as fun to watch with Kevin Durant. The Warriors before Kevin Durant showed up were, I mean, it was magic to watch that team. It was so beautiful. And Kevin Durant got there, and I mean, it was good. They're good, but it wasn't nearly as fun for me. Before the Warriors were even contending for titles, I used to stay up late to watch them play.
Oh, I remember that.
Because they were just, I mean, they were the most fun team to watch. And, you know, I didn't know that they'd end up being a dynasty, but I knew that they were going to be good. And that's, I mean, basically that's what you're looking at. There's no Harrison Barnes anymore, but I think they can fade that loss. So I'm excited to see them play tonight. I'm excited to see how the Rockets, what the Rockets do to match up with them. Here's the one thing I will say. If Steph Curry is really that off and he can't get back his shot, the Rockets can win. Because all that time when the Warriors were dominating without Kevin Durant, it's because Steph Curry was a freakishly great shooter.
Yeah.
And would always find a shot. If his shot's still broken, it doesn't matter how much ball movement you have. If he gets his looks and misses them, the Warriors are in trouble.
All right, let's wrap up the show the way we do every Friday. Let's get a little stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said
this week. Somebody mentioned the San Jose 5-minute power play penalty against the Golden Knights. Yeah, that was another one that you're just, you know, tell you, makes me feel a little limp right now. So I guess I better go to fourhymns.com.
You could still be a man and drink beer out of a blue and pink can.
That's right. AJ, now that's the second time I've heard AJ said pink.
You don't think
this is pink? Is he colorblind? Is AJ, is your partner colorblind?
What would you call it?
That is orange.
It's more like a salmon color.
Yeah, you're the one calling me a walking corpse, and you can't tell what color orange is.
Well, listen, the lighting in here is not great.
So what color?
Same lighting for all the old people over here.
I don't think it is illegal to ride with your hazards on.
Yeah, the reason it came up is people are doing it in the rain with their hazards.
Oh, if you're having sex in the rain in your car, that's definitely not safe right now.
If you're just joining us, I broke a tooth today. And in our job, there's like two things that are pretty harmless that make working difficult. One of them is having a cold.
Yeah.
And not being able to talk. And burping.
His hair wouldn't allow it, but Joel has got some lesbian qualities to him.
It's a good point. So does Barry, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
That's probably the most lesbian show on the station.
Yeah, for sure. For sure that.
Who are NBA players today that we call them by their last name?
Giannis.
No, that's his first name.
Oh, yeah.
That's his first name, AJ.
Damn. Yeah, you remember...
Giannis is so bad, some people just go Greek freak.
In the words of the Big Show, 150 minutes in the rear... 150 in the, or 2.5 in the rear.
Who's taking it? Whoa. You are not getting behind
Nick,
me.
How's this work?
I don't know. I mess it up every time.
What do you guys have in the rear?
I think it's 50 in the rear or 180 in the rear, something
180
like that.
In the rear.
Yo, ain't no.
That sounds like a lot, but.
I guess we shouldn't be calling it. Never mind.
But the rest is in the front, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
Is that what he says, in the front or in the windshield or what?
I mess it up every time.
Takaria Dontin.
That's Takaria.
Takaria Dontin.
Where are you from, Takaria?
I'm telling you, man, I'm in so much pain, AJ.
Takaria?
I am not, honestly, I'm having a hard time even focusing. I'm in so much pain right now.
Oh,
so Takaria Dontin.
No.
Me either.
Takaria. That's got to be on stupid stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you mark that day. Takaria. Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week. I don't care what happened for the rest of the week. That was the funniest thing that got said all week.
You're a dickweed. You're just a horrible human being. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Pretty good job today, Aaron. Hoffman, you suck. I was a lot better today than I was the other day. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Till Monday, stay sports, you bitches.
Radio Sports Beat.